Sarah Jaggard from the Australian Drug Foundation. This podcast features Sondra Davern explaining the secondary supply legislation in Victoria, including the issues of permission and enforcement. Sondra is a public health lawyer for the Council Council Victoria and the Victorian Alcohol Policy Coalition, and is also a member of Australia's National Preventative Health Agency's Expert Committee on Alcohol. So Sondra, tell us about the new legislation. How does it work?
Hi Sarah. Well look, the main objects of the legislation is to support parents and guardians in determining how and when their children are exposed to alcohol. So the Victorian government have tried to design a law that defines who can and can't supply alcohol to young people or to people under the age of 18. It's trying to protect young people from alcohol-related harm and deter irresponsible supply, and really just giving parents a tool for managing their children's expectations about providing alcohol at teenage parties and other events.
What effects will these amendments have on the supply of alcohol to minors?
So the Liquor Control Reform Act has been amended to ban the supply of alcohol to minors in a private residence without parental consent. So before these amendments, anyone over the age of 18 could legally supply someone under the age of 18 with alcohol, so long as that alcohol was supplied in a private home.
Does this law exist in any other states or territories?
Yes, it does. So New South Wales, Queensland and Tasmania all have similar laws designed to protect minors from being supplied with alcohol in private homes. And this new law is designed to bring Victoria in line with those states.
Okay. One thing that the community seems to be concerned about is how the law will actually be enforced. So how will Victoria Police enforce this offence?
Well, look, the law will be enforced just like every other law is. Police will consider the facts of a situation and decide whether or not to charge an offender or to issue a penalty notice. So the intention of the legislation is really to deal with the most serious issues of secondary supply rather than minor breaches.
Mm-hmm. And how will they police it?
So they'll consider the facts of the situation and decide on a case-by-case scenario. What they will look for they'll probably look to prosecute if alcohol has been provided to a minor in an irresponsible way or in a way that could lead to significant harm to a young person. So it really will depend on the facts of the situation. Decisions on when and how to use the law to prosecute an adult or someone over the age of 18 for providing alcohol to a minor will ultimately be determined by the police on the facts of the situation.
Okay. And what would you say to the people out there that are concerned that these laws aren't enforceable?
Oh, look, they are enforceable, and we've seen that they've been enforced in New South Wales, Queensland and Tasmania. So I think that's probably the best guidance for people who think they can't be enforced.
Mm-hmm. What will the penalties be for this offence?
So the offence will attract a fine of around 60 penalty units, which at the moment is around about $7,000. The infringement penalty, which is an on-the-spot fine, is 10% of this amount, or $733. So this penalty is the same penalty that applies to a licensee who provides a minor with alcohol on licensed premises.
So a lot of people are concerned about how to obtain consent before supplying alcohol to a minor. Can you tell us how this can be done?
Sure. Well, look, consent isn't defined clearly in the legislation, but there's lots of case law around this, and there's a pragmatic approach that people can take this. So anyone who plans to supply alcohol to a minor in their home has to be authorised according to the legislation, and they have to be authorised to do so by the young person's parent or legal guardian. The very best way to do this is to have actual contact with the person who's authorising supply, so to confirm that permission is genuine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is there any sort of form that the consent must take? So does it have to be written or can it be verbal?
Look, it can be both, and the legislation, again, doesn't define what the consent has to be. It's really the responsibility of the person who intends to supply alcohol to the young person to make sure that they're happy with the type of consent that's been given. So it can be verbally, it can be in writing, and I guess the rule of thumb is that if somebody is worried about whether or not consent has been given, they're best to get that in writing or to at least record the conversation.
So how much alcohol can someone actually serve a young person if they have consent from a parent or guardian? Because I'm assuming they can't just serve them unlimited amounts.
Yeah, sure. And look, the legislation doesn't define what sort of supply can take place, but there are other rules around alcohol supply that will come into play here. So they still need to serve alcohol responsibly, otherwise they risk breaking other laws or breaching their duty of care to the young person. So a person who allows a minor to become intoxicated can face civil or criminal charges if that young person suffers harm as a result of that intoxication.
Okay. What if a minor fakes a consent note?
The legislative provision requires that a person who supplies a minor with alcohol in a private home must be authorised. There's no defence in the legislation that says if they get a fake note, the person isn't liable. But there are common law defences. So if somebody does have an honest belief that the permission was given and that they can defend that in court, then there's some wiggle room there to say that if there has been a fake note, they might be able to defend the charge. But look, it's a really high burden. It really is the responsibility of the person who is going to supply to make sure that they're really confident with the permission that's been given.
Okay, people have asked about a number of different scenarios regarding secondary supply of alcohol. So what would happen if a minor supplies another minor? Does the same sort of rule of thumb apply?
Yeah, it does. So if a minor supplies another minor, so their friend or anyone else who is also a minor, the young person who supplies the alcohol will be breaking the law, especially if they haven't got consent from their parent.
Okay, so they could be hit with a $700 fine.
Yeah, they could potentially be.
What if an 18-year-old supplies a 16-year-old friend?
So anyone who's 18 and supplies someone who's 16 is still breaking the same law. Assuming they haven't got consent from the 16-year-old's parent, they will also be facing potentially another fine as well.
Mm-hmm. And what if a parent supplies alcohol to their own child? Is that okay?
That is okay, and that's what the law specifically provides for. This law isn't designed to stop parents from supplying their own children with alcohol. It's designed to stop other people supplying alcohol to your child.
So I guess the community has they've thrown up a lot of questions around the new legislation, and I guess one of the biggest concerns for them is that kids will just bring their own alcohol to a private residence. So how does that fit in with the legislation if someone hosts a party and underage young people are bringing their own alcohol?
Yeah, sure. Well, look, the law's not designed to solve every issue of underage drinking, but it does restrict the way that alcohol can be supplied to minors in private homes. So it does provide parents and guardians with more control over how and when alcohol is supplied to children. So it doesn't try to address all the issues associated with teenage drinking, mm-hmm. but it is addressing that supply chain, which is really the key issue for BYO parties.
Okay. And parents have also expressed concern that the law takes away their rights. What do you think about that?
Well, look, it actually promotes the rights of parents who were probably had less control over the supply of alcohol to their children before this law than they do now. So it now gives them a greater amount of influence and control over how, when and whether other adults are allowed to supply their child with alcohol.
But aren't these laws at odds with the NHMRC guidelines?
In fact, the laws support the NHMRC guidelines, which effectively say that people under the age of 18 should drink as little as possible. So by interrupting this supply chain, The intention is that people under the age of 18 will be drinking more in line with the NHMRC guidelines, which is to say not very much at all.
Fantastic, Sandra. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Sarah.
For more information about alcohol and the new secondary supply legislation, visit the Teen Drinking Law website at teendrinkinglaw.vic.gov.au. This podcast was developed by the Australian Drug Foundation in partnership with the Victorian Department of Health and Vic Health. The content of this podcast is provided as general information only. It is not intended to be given as advice and should not be relied upon as such. If you are concerned about any issue raised by the podcast, then you should seek your own professional advice.